Good morning from Toronto. Today I'll answer some questions here. I'm just opening my questions file. And let me read this one, because this one's quite long. I'll be back in a sec. Oh boy. This is going to be a controversial answer, just because of the nature of my feelings on this subject, about which I will be writing a little book, correction. I won't be writing a book about this subject, but about the position of the spiritual master within the society, and that will deal with this topic, and that is the topic of Dakshina. But let me read the question. It's from an anonymous person. I would mention his name anyway. I'm embarrassed to ask this question, but I have no one else I can ask. I have a spiritual master whom I consider to be one of the most advanced devotees in our ISKCON. I have firm faith that spiritually he is the best guide. My dilemma revolves around giving him money. I have on more than one occasion given him large sums of money. I also give him donations on a monthly basis for general maintenance. I may shortly receive a large sum of money, but I'm doubting whether I should offer some to him. He presently has more money than I do. I have a wife and two children, and I'm hoping to retire early. I'm now 40, etc., etc. He says, I feel guilty because I have doubts whether I should give him some money. Is this unsurrendered, offensive? Should I consider that Gornitai will take care of me, or is this naive? Okay, here goes. But before I answer this, you should understand that this is my opinion, and it's not necessarily the opinion of all the members of this society. However, it is an opinion shared by many, particularly the managers of our movement. By that I mean the temple presidents, especially GBC secretaries, and so on. So first of all, just in response to the first question, no, you're not offensive. It is correct, in fact, intelligent to ask such a question. Now, in our tradition, there is such a thing as offering Guru Dakshina. Guru Dakshina is meant to be offered once the disciple has gone through Gurukula and is leaving. This is the process that we observe, for instance, in Srimad Bhagavatam, when Krishna and Balaram completed their training from Sandipani Muni, then they asked to offer him Guru Dakshina. I don't know of Guru Dakshina as being something that's ongoing, compulsory, and repetitive. Although it may be, this Guru Dakshina at the time of completion of one's education, Guru Dakshina at the time of initiation, these are compulsory. However, in addition to tradition, there's also the present situation in which we function, and that is an institution. And the nature of the institution is that it's a very systematic and organized structure, which has as its main responsibility to give shelter, systematic shelter and guidance to people, to be accountable for lines of authority, which means that everybody within the society should be accountable to someone else for their actions, and obviously for their finances as well. It means that everyone is accountable for funds. Therefore, that tradition of guru-disciple relationship and whatever the extent of offering dakshin is, should now coexist along with the necessities of a modern institution. Therefore, my conviction as a result of that is that because the institution requires accountability, disciples who give money to their gurus should give them on the following condition. I'm saying now this is the institutional condition, that isn't that disciples are making a condition, although I believe they have the right to, because they're also responsible for who and for what reason they give charity. This is called charity in the mode of goodness, giving it to the right person in the right place in the right circumstance. And that condition is that the spiritual master processes whatever money he receives through the authorized channels of ISKCON. Authorized channels means that it goes through a local temple, the money is receipted, it's accounted for as an income into the society, and the guru does not personally receive funds just by dint of his being a guru. In other words, because he's a guru, that doesn't mean that he has access and right to unlimited amount of funds to spend them as he wants. Rather, he's a member of ISKCON. He has a specific service. That service may be as a temple president, as a GBC, as a Sankirtan leader, as a project manager. And aside from that, he's also a spiritual master. He should receive those funds. Those funds then should be processed just like any other donation is processed, or just like any other income is processed. What happens when someone walks into a temple and gives the temple president some money? It goes into the temple's treasury, it gets banked, and then it gets spent, generally gets spent for the needs of the temple, or if the donor specifies what he's giving it for, then the money is spent according to that specification. So in my understanding, there's no such thing as donating money to a guru because he happens to be a guru, and therefore he should do with it whatever he likes. Rather, we donate money to ISKCON and to the representatives of ISKCON, who may or may not be gurus. If we do not specify what those funds should be used for, then they may utilize them for whatever ISKCON project they deem necessary. And if we specify what it is, then they use it for that specific ISKCON project. But the maintenance of a spiritual master is not the responsibility of the disciples. The disciples' responsibility is the maintenance of ISKCON. But it's ISKCON's responsibility to maintain spiritual masters, and therefore spiritual masters should receive monies as any other members of ISKCON do, if they receive money, according to their needs. Devotees in temples, devotees who are fully dependent upon the society, receive funds, or rather are maintained by the temple, and they receive funds just like everyone else does, and as much as everyone else does, or if the service requires somewhat more. For instance, if a traveling preacher who is a guru requires funds to travel from place to place, then he receives funds from the places that he travels to cover his traveling expenses. But aside from that, the lifestyle of Vaishnavas within the institution should be more or less on par. Someone may say, well, that's not fair because the spiritual master is individual and he's attracting so much funds. But why is he being given funds? He's being given funds by everyone because he's a member of ISKCON. Therefore, if on the strength of being a member of ISKCON I receive some Lakshmi, then the Lakshmi that I receive should be processed and given to the ISKCON management structure to be used as the ISKCON management structure thinks it fit. This means, in my estimation that not only for financial accountability, but in terms of all of their services, gurus are also accountable and responsible to the management structure of the society, which means GBC secretary, of course above that is GBC body, and then under GBC secretary is temple president and so on. Sannyasis, gurus may not like this proposal, therefore I say this is my opinion. However, I don't understand how an individual can be part of ISKCON, claim to be part of ISKCON, can receive the benefits of ISKCON, and receiving money is a benefit, receiving followers and their support is a benefit, and yet at the same time be independent of the society. I've given the example of, for instance, a Sankirtan devotee. A Sankirtan devotee goes out, sells books, receives donations, and what does he do with that money? He doesn't pocket it. No one in the world thinks that he has a right to keep that money, but rather he brings it in. It is given to the temple treasurer, and then it's used as needed. I don't think that the gurus have any more rights than such a Sankirtan devotee to independently or unauthorizedly use funds, whether it be for good purposes, such as personal projects, which are not necessarily run under the auspices of ISKCON management structure, or, as also mentioned in this letter, for personal perks, healthy distractions, they can be called, like techno gear and so on. In other words, gurus are not autonomous entities who are empowered to direct souls or finances or projects independent of the society. All of these things have to be done, like with every other devotee, under the auspices of the society. So, is the idea that a disciple has doubts whether he should give his guru dakshin or not, is that unsurrendered or offensive? Obviously, my answer is no. Should I consider that Gornitai will take care of me, or is this naive? No, it is being naive. You should ensure your personal maintenance and your family's maintenance for the future, and you should donate money to ISKCON where you think that that money is being fully accounted for and fully engaged in Krishna service, and it does not become some one person's financial asset. Gurus are not meant to become wealthy because they have disciples. They're meant to remain dependent on Gornitai, having full faith that Gornitai will take care of them if they preach, and they should hand over whatever it is that they receive from disciples to ISKCON, and like everyone else, work in cooperation with ISKCON authorities. Hare Krishna. I have a lot more to say. I will say it more in writing. I hope that what I said clarified things somewhat.